The Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus and the disciples went on and passed through Galilee. He did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him, and 3 days later, after being killed, he will rise again." But they did not understand what he was saying, and were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all, and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them. And taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
On a shelf in our house, there's a Barefoot Bears figurine of two bears in love. This figurine was the centerpiece at Amanda's and my rehearsal dinner, and it has been on our shelf since we unpacked it 2.5 years ago. We hardly notice it anymore among the other decorations in our home. Then Ethan entered what I'm calling the caveman stage. He will point to something and go, "Ooh!" He's discovering the world around him for the first time, and he just recently discovered the Barefoot Bears figurines on our shelf. I take the bears down for him so that he can run his hands over their black, silky, smooth coats. He grabs their brown noses, and he examines the inscription on their feet. He traces the shape of their ears and their heads with his forefingers. Ethan's curiosity is opening us up to the marvels of the world around us, and we are seeing the old creation with renewed eyes. Renewal is a cornerstone of Jesus' ministry. Yet his disciples are not acting like they have been renewed. Here they are walking to Capernaum. Jesus just finished telling them that he would be betrayed, killed, and rise again, and that any who wanted to follow him must take up his cross. But are they talking about following Jesus? No. No, they're talking about who among them is the greatest. Despite the incredible ways that God's future is breaking into the here and now, they are still jockeying for positions of power in the old creation. Now, this obviously isn't the first time that Jesus has had to chastise them for their lack of vision. He asks them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" And the silence of shame falls around the room. He knows that they are still stuck in old patterns of living. He knows that they are still blind to the future that God is creating among them. So he gathers up a little child in his arms. "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." It's astonishing that Jesus binds God's presence to a young child, the creator of the cosmos, who some see in mountains and others in sunsets, insists on being found in what is perhaps one of the weakest, most vulnerable creatures on earth. When Amanda and I were preparing for Ethan's birth, We were told that he would be more like a fetus than a baby for the first 3 months of his life. Most mammals mature more quickly. They're born ready to walk or run, and our children can't even roll over at birth. Our children take years of study and training before they can become productive members of society. How can the all-knowing dwell alongside such naive inexperience? How can the all-powerful be confined and known in such a small, frail body? Jesus' teaching goes against every one of our inclinations. Those of us who have been around a while know how the real world works. We know that the strongest survive while the weak perish. We know that no one gets something for nothing. We have likely been hurt a time or two by our mistakes, and we take every precaution against being hurt again. We assume that we must have learned to play the game well because we figured out how to make it this far. As we grow older, we are in danger of having our world become closed and rigid with all of the things that we think we know. We become stuck in old patterns of living, and we remain blind to the future that God is creating. Jesus teaches that there is something about a small child which is more at home in God's presence than anything that even the most outstanding disciple could boast of. Unlike older children or adults, a small child lives in a world that is just beginning to open up with possibilities. Eyes that are unjaded by experience take in for the first time what for you and for me has become the old creation. Curiosity leads to questions, and innocence leads to exploration. Things that we once took for granted are cast into doubt. Things that we hardly notice anymore suddenly stand out against the backdrop of their surroundings. New perspectives create new possibilities, and the marvels around us open themselves up to us, and we see the old creation through renewed eyes. Jesus also teaches us to approach God with the same wide-eyed curiosity and wonder of a child. We try so hard to pin God down, to bind God to a particular set of beliefs or a series of regulations. And don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with knowing who you are and maintaining good order. But when these beliefs and these structures become so closed and so rigid that they do not allow God to do something new, then we have fallen into the same trap as the disciples. For God is not a historian, but an artist. A creator who is constantly shaping and reshaping our world through the fresh eyes of children. God is not to be found among the proud, among the strong, among the honored. God is to be found among the little children. As Jesus once said to his disciples, the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. When we understand this, we begin to understand how God's kingdom works. For we are reborn through the waters of baptism to reimagine the world through God's childlike eyes. We come to this old, worn-out creation as if we are looking at it for the very first time. Suddenly, old problems have new solutions. Old relationships are revitalized. Old wounds are mended. we notice that options which seemed ridiculous or even unthinkable before are actually covered with the fingerprints of God. What previously seemed impossible has become possible. What previously seemed like death has become life. Nowhere do we see this inversion more clearly than in the death and the resurrection of our Lord. Last night, we all went to sleep in darkness. And this morning, we have been reborn in light. Let your renewed eyes discover God's hand acting this day. Do not be so burdened by the old creation that you forget to look for the new. And if you lose your way and cannot see a path forward, find a small child to be your guide. For the eyes of a child are the eyes of God. Your vision will be renewed.